This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.
All right. This morning, I wanted to pick up last week. We paused for a minute. If you were here, we kind of did our, we had our missions convention, our weekend. Michigan went over well. But we're back to where our normal structures of things. And so I want to talk to you. We've been talking on this series that's called I've Got Issues. Anybody got issues in the house today? Come on. Two of you, all right? The person sitting next to you is like, you're a liar. You got issues all over the place, man. You're a hot mess, all right? You got issues. We've been talking about issues, whether you got anger issues or all kinds of issues. We got them, trust issues, and we just were full of issues. It's like we're just created that way, and yet God always has an answer for our issues. Yeah, my wife, Kim, she is always, always, always good at giving me feedback on my messages, whether I want it or not. And how many husbands know your wife is a no-holds-barred critic of you, all right? Like, they don't have a problem telling you what you need to do. And I get it, right? They give it to you. That's part of their jobs, men. Like, that's their job to tell you when you look stupid or to tell you when you are stupid, all right? That's their job. But I trust my wife. I hope you trust yours. I trust Kim. And she can let me know when I preach that I need to bring a disclaimer to the message. And so today's one of those days where she'll, you know, she looks at me and she'll say, you know, that message is really hard. I'm like, really? Like, I thought I was the nicest guy in the world. What are you talking about? That was hard. And she's like, no, that was hard. You need to give a disclaimer to that. So here's a disclaimer today. Those seats you're sitting in, they come with seat belts. Put them on. Yeah, I saw somebody look right now. They were looking for one. What, a seat belt? I love this church. All right, so this is a great church. They got seat belts. But no, let's put the seatbelts on. I just want to talk to you. So let's get into this. Let's talk today about I've got commitment issues. And how many people got commitment issues? You know, like right now you can't even listen to me because your mind is not committed on what you're going to have for lunch, right? Your lives, you're not committed because you don't know what you're going to do the rest of the day. Like you're just in a place of like, I can't commit to anything. You know, some of you have gone through your whole lives where you have a struggle committing to things and we have those issues. But today's going to be a little different when we talk about commitment issues and what that means. And I hope you'll see when we get into this, because I want to talk to you today about becoming what I call holy. You see what I did with the Y there? Isn't that cool? I'm so creative. So, but talk about you becoming holy, all right? And we all need to hear this. And then in the new year, 2026, you're going to hear our church talk a lot about this and some of the things that we're unpacking, what it means to be holy. But listen to this, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. This is what Paul writes. He says, may the God himself, the God who makes everything holy and whole, make you holy and whole. Put you together, spirit, soul, and body, and keep you fit for the coming of our master, Jesus Christ. So we focus so much in church and in church big C all over the world. We focus so much on Jesus changing your spirit. And he does all that. But Jesus promises not to just change you in spirit when I read this, but he also promises to change you in your soul, meaning your mental and emotional health. And he also agrees to change you in your body, your physical health. And it's a big promise. But that's why God doesn't just leave us there when he writes this scripture. He ensures that promise with the next verse. Look what it says. The one who called you, talking about God, is completely dependable. Get this. If he said it, he'll do it. How many know in life today, you don't get that a lot with other humans? But God says, I'm dependable, and I'll do it because I said it. And I love that promise, the guarantee from, it's a guarantee from the Lord. And here's the deal. He doesn't always put these little guarantees next to his promises in the Bible. Why? Because his word is as good as a promise. But he put, in this particular one, he puts this verse together and he puts this little extra promise guarantee with his promise in this verse because he understands how hard it is to believe that. Like typically in our lives, we have one area of our life that we're doing really well in. But how many know that typically there's an opposite to that, that is another, always a typically another area of our lives that we aren't doing so well in. It's kind of like this balancing act that we have. Like we could be crushing it at work, but losing it at home. Or we could be winning at home and totally losing at work. Or you could be winning at your marriage, but losing with your kids or other relationships. And God's saying to us, I know it's hard to believe, but there's actually a promise for you. A promise of a life that I can provide you where you will be holistically blessed. Where you can be holistically cared for. Where you can be holistically healthy, both physically and spiritually. And it's hard to believe, but it's a promise. And we've been doing that throughout this series where we're looking at our issues and how God has a way of bringing a promise along to encourage us with our issues. And what I don't want for our church and for you as an individual is because so many of you are working hard at real change. Like, I really want to be different. I really want to do this thing right. I really want to live for the Lord. And what I want for you is I don't want us to be in a place where we're talking about the same issues a year from now. Where we're dealing with the same things every year and every year. What I've learned, church, is it's one thing to make a change. How many know it's a totally different thing to sustain a change? It's easy to make it. It's different to sustain it. And a lot of people can diet and get on an exercise plan for a little bit. But real change is when change becomes a lifestyle. And I want you to know that God actually has a tool for turning your decisions, the decisions you make in life, God has a tool to turning it into a way of life. He actually has designed an instrument in his word, and he talks about it, that can turn your decisions into directions. He actually has a weapon that he uses to help people turn their behavior into their being. It's an amazing weapon. He has a weapon that can take what they do into change what they do into who they are. And that's my prayer, that you would no longer have to fight for the change, because the change is no longer on the outside of you, which is easy, but it's something that's happened deep inside of you, where you're actually a different person. And that's what God promises. And his method, here's the good news, it's really not a secret. You don't have to let's see if we can find it, go on a scavenger hunt to find God's secret weapon for us. The Bible makes it really clear. Ephesians chapter 4, this is God's plan for sustaining wholeness in all of us. Ephesians chapter 4, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the prophets and teachers to equip his people for works of service. Verse 12, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Look at verse 13. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining. That's a big word, attaining. You know what attaining in that word, what it means there? It means done and still doing. So in one sense, how many know this? God has done a lot in my life. But in another sense, how many know he's still doing stuff? But God is not done with me, and he's not done with you. Amen. So he said attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So what God is saying to us this morning, he goes, I've designed a place of commitment. I've designed a place, and some people call it a body. That if you take your place in this body, you're going to grow until you reach the wholeness of the image of Christ. So just so I remind you today, the goal of every Christian in life is to grow up to look like our Father. Like, we want to be images of Jesus. But growth can only take place. That image can only be established when we are connected to the body. And this body that the Apostle Paul is talking about here is none other than, come on, the church. The church. So I want to speak to you today, when I talk about I've got commit issues, I want to speak to you today on the topic of a holy, holy church. I want to talk about a holy church. What does it mean to be full, to be holy, to be that type of church? Like, I can't think of anything else that affects your life more holistically than the church does. Like I can't tell you the amount of people just this year alone, maybe even just the last 6 months alone, who have literally said personally to me, if it wasn't for the church, talking about our church, who said to me, I can't believe how the church has stood by me and supported me. in what I'm walking through. I've had people literally say to me, God has been doing a miracle in my life. Someone said to me in our church, my spouse is coming to church with me and I've prayed for this for years. I literally had a woman come up to me just recently and say, Pastor Heath, I want to thank you so much for that sermon on anger that you preached recently, because my husband did something this week. And if it wasn't for that sermon, I'd be in jail right now. And she did not smile or laugh. And you know what she said to me? She said, I went into the other room and I just sat there and I weaved a whip. If you were part of that sermon, you know what I'm talking about. Just weaved a whip, just paused. Like these types of things are happening. And nothing in the world can affect every aspect of your life like the church can. And so I want to answer this question if you've been thinking about church. Because why church? Because I know this, I'm not naive. It took a lot for some of you to show up today. Some of you drove 45 minutes, 30 minutes. There's even people in the room that drive over an hour to be with us on Sundays. It took a lot for you to be here today. Some of you, this is the only time in the week that you actually really get dressed, right? So it took a lot to be here today, right? And some of you, like, it takes effort to get up early. This is early for some of y'all. I know it. Yeah, this is your day off, and you're here, and you took effort to be here. Some of you, you have kids, and I understand, praise God, to get those kids out of bed, little rascals, feed them a donut, healthy, get them to church, get them dressed, fight with the teenagers. You know what I'm saying? Like, it took effort to be here this morning, and I get that. I understand that. But here's the question that we have. So here's the question we have to ask ourselves. Then why church? Why church? And hear me really clearly, if you don't have an answer to that question, you will need an answer to that question, because you will be asked. Your friends will ask, why church? Your family will ask, why church? And hear me this morning, when life gets hard, the devil will ask, why church? And if you don't have an answer, he's got you. Also, there's some of you that have been coming to church for a really long time. This is your place. You've cut your teeth here. And I want to tell you, this is not a point for you to check out. This is just as applicable to you, because my title for you this morning is, don't lose your why. Don't lose your why, church. Because you can be in this for so long that you forget why you started this whole thing in the first place. And you start looking for every answer. Why church? Why am I doing this? And hear me this morning. The easy answer for all of us in the room could be, well, because Jesus told you to. Well, Jesus said that's what we're supposed to do. The word church in the Bible is actually translated from the Greek to this word called ecclesia. And the word ecclesia is found in the Bible, get this, 114 times. So the word church is used in the New Testament 114. That's a lot of times. And the first time we ever hear the word ecclesia used, or the word church used in the Bible, is found in the very first book of the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew. And guess who says it? Jesus. And the last time you hear the word ecclesia, or church, is in the book of Revelation, the very last book of the New Testament. And guess who said it? Jesus. So the word church is literally bookends of your New Testament. And they are spoken by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So if you're a Christian and you're here this morning, you could say, well, that's the end of the sermon. Let's go home. That's it. Let's go. Let's get out of here. Jesus said it. I do it. And that's good. I like it. I believe it. But I also understand, if you haven't noticed yet, we are human. And by being human, we have some fallacies. And there are a lot of things that we question and don't believe. And we start to get our theology messed up. Maybe you're in the room and you're like, I don't even believe in Jesus. Or maybe in the room you're like, well, I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe in the church. And so to say, well, Jesus said it, is really just not enough for a lot of us. So let me real quickly go through this. Why this morning, I want to give you why church. Our reasons for why church. And this really applies to CLC. I'm not speaking to anything else but our church right here this morning. Why church? Number one is because of community. You like my creative whys? Aren't those cool? Community. Romans 12 says this, because of the privilege of and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Some of you need to hear that. Amen. But be honest in your evaluation of yourself. Look at verse 4 and 5. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. Have you ever noticed? Isn't it amazing how there are certain parts of the body that you have that you don't even know you have until something goes wrong with it? Right? Like I pulled something weird in my back recently. It was like a muscle I've never even know. Where is this thing at? Like, how did this happen? Never experienced before. And I was like, what is that? I'm like trying to stretch it out, reading Dr. Google. Like, I'm like trying to figure out what I could do. I couldn't do anything to relieve it. I never even know I had this pain in that area. I mean, I literally thought I must have pulled my soul, right? I'm like, what's going on? And I couldn't identify the muscle. It was really hard. Like, you don't ever think about this. You don't ever think about your big toe until you stub it. You never think about your knees until you turn 40. Come on, somebody with me? You never think about your knees until you're 40 and you think, man, they used to just work. And now I've got to work on getting them to work, right? And here's what I'm trying to say to you, simply on the screen. You don't know how much you need community until you're hurting. You don't know how much you need it until you're hurting. Like, we never knew we needed community more than the lockdown of 2020. When COVID shut everything down, right? And we all went into hiding. We all isolated ourselves. And man, at first we were like, this is awesome. I could sleep in. I don't take a shower for a week. No one knows. Like, I don't have to go to work. Come on, hallelujah, praise God. I don't have to do any of these things. I mean, it was great. But then eventually it's like, we start going crazy. How many of you know you ate too much during COVID 2020 lockdown? Crazy. How many know families fought a lot during COVID 2020? Like, you lost your mind during 2020. I didn't have a haircut. That's bad, especially for somebody who's losing their hair. But hear me, socialists and psychologists actually did a study on when this thing was over, and the answer at the end of it was one word: isolation. People are not designed to live alone. We're designed to live in community. And the Bible refers to community as a living body, like a way of a body works, a way a body comes together to be healthy is all the parts work together. So here's my question for you this morning. Could it be that you are hurting because you're not a part? Could it be that you're hurting because you're not a part? There are three types, get this morning, three types of relationship standings that you can take with community. Three types of relationship standings that some of us in the room take this morning that we can take with community, right? Here's the first one. The first one says, I don't need anybody, I'm independent. Boy, we love this one. I'm independent. Because independent says I'm strong, so I'm not connected. I don't need anybody else. I'm good. I got this. When you are independent, you're strong. But here's the weakness in your strength. You might be strong and because you think you can do things on your own, so you're not connected and it becomes a weakness and you start hurting. So like, for example, like right now, I brought some pain relief stuff here. I put black tape on it because they don't sponsor us. All right. So if they want to pay for some of our building stuff, we'll take the wrapper off. All right. But they don't sponsor me. But I got some headache pain relief medicine with me this morning. Let's just use this example for just a moment, right? And let's say, as the body, I'm a mouth, right? I'm a mouth. And I preach, I share the gospel, and I can be a really good mouth. I can talk really well. I can share things really, really well. I can do all these wonderful things, but I'm just a mouth. But as a mouth, I still have pain. And how am I going to get pain relief medicine into my body? This is a stupid illustration, but it works. I'm just a mouth. How do I get it into me? Do you understand where I'm going? How do I get the pain relief medicine into my body? And it's not going to happen not without my hands. So I can be strong. I can be the strongest mouth in the world, but if I refuse to connect myself to God's design, guess what? I'm weak. I'm weak. Because I wasn't designed to do life by myself. And that's why we have church, right? That's why we say, hey, we want you to plug in your resource, your talents, your gifts, so that it can make us completely strong. And not just us, but it can make you completely strong. So another relationship standing is not independent, but some of us fall in the category of codependent, right? Codependent. And this is like I'm connected, but I'm weak also. Right? So again, I got my prop, for example, like, and this is the hands, right? I'm the hands, right? And I'm looking at the bottle and I'm like, I'm the hands. I'm doing all this. And I'm saying, mouth, can you help me open this, please? And I'm just, it's just so hard for me to open. Can you help me, mouth, open this bottle? And mouth looks at hands is like, no. I can't help you open it. If you open it, I can chew it. If you open it, hands, I can take it down. But I can't open it. That is your job. And I just say to us this morning that we have to be careful that that spirit doesn't flow into the church either. Right? Because there's a lot of people in church saying, you know what? Nobody's feeding me here. And nobody's discipling me or apprenticing me, and nobody's nice to me, and I just sit here all by myself, and I'm just waiting, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, wait a minute, wait. You mean you don't have a Bible? You mean like you can't pray? Like, wait, have you joined a life group? Do you go to Grow You on a Wednesday night? Like it's, how many know it's easier in life in 2025 for someone else to do the work for us? It's just easier. I'm your pastor, and the Greek word for pastor is this thing called shepherd. And I've seen shepherd lead sheep, and shepherds do a lot of things for the sheep, but there's one thing that a shepherd doesn't do for sheep, and you know what that is? Feed the sheep. They can lead them to the fields. They could say, hey, there's grass here. I've got you to a rich, flourished field. They can do all that. But how many know if the sheep doesn't want to eat, that's the sheep's issue. That's the sheep's problem. So we can't be codependent on a church to do the parts of your spiritual life that you have the strength to do on your own. But even if you are strong, you can't do it all on your own. And this is the relational standing that God has designed for the church. It's not independent, it's not codependent, but it's this, interdependent. This is God's design, interdependent. And interdependence, you know, is like I'm strong and I'm connected. Interdependent isn't strong but not connected, or weak but not connected. Interdependent is I'm strong and I'm connected, right? I'm all these things. I'm strong and I'm connected. My wife and I we're strong believers. We pray, we read our Bibles, we worship, we serve. But when we're walking through that dark and difficult times, what prayer couldn't do, what worship couldn't do, was show up at our house. What they couldn't do is put an arm around us and pray for us. What they couldn't do was sit with us and listen. And that's what the church did. The church showed up with a meal. The church showed up with a card. Man, the church showed up with an edible arrangement. Y'all don't know nothing about no edible arrangements in here in Montana, but the fruit basket, baby, come on. Some of y'all, that's a business model you need to open for us right now. So I speak that prophetically over some wealthy person in the room. So, and tie it to the church. So, hear me. We were strong Christians, but we needed the strength of the church. I'm going to do a survey this morning. I'll put you a little bit on the spot. I want you to hang with me. It'll go quick. I'm going to do a survey of the room. I want you to raise your hands, and you got to keep them up, okay? If it's more than one, you can double it up, all right? But I'll keep it up when I say this. Here's the first question. Raise your hand if you've ever been in a season of life financially and someone from the church stepped in the gap to help you. Okay, give me hands up. Have you ever been sick or in the hospital and it was someone from the church who texted you, called you, or visited you? Raise your hand. Have you ever needed help moving, building something, yard work, advice, an expert opinion, your car worked on, and it was someone from the church who helped you? Raise your hand. Come on. Last one. Have you ever been going through something and it was a text message, a phone call, or an offer of prayer from someone from the church? Raise your hand. Look around you. There's a lot of hands up in this room. This is the church. This is the church. It's a bunch of strong people coming alongside of other strong people to help us in a moment of weakness, and that's community. Let me give you the second why church. Second why church. Here it is. How about this one? Authority and accountability. And I know, as soon as I said this word, some of you just went, boop, done. You lost me, Pastor. We don't like those words. Accountability, authority in the Christian realm, those are cuss words, man. Those are dirty words. We don't say those in church. Here's what the Bible says. Matthew 18. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. And if they listen to you, you have won them over. Verse 16, but if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. But look at verse 17. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. Let me pause for a moment because this does not mean we parade people across stage to air out their laundry. You know, that's been misinterpreted for years in the church. What he's talking about there when he says the church, he's talking about the leaders of the church. The pastors of the church, the staff of the church. So we're not going to parade you here, I promise. So, but tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen, even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Now, if you work for the IRS or an accountant, don't feel targeted this morning, okay? A tax collector during those times was it's a peripheral phrase that referred to someone who does not have a relationship with God, yet even though they don't, they're living among the people of God. And so here's what this Bible is teaching us. Hear me. There are people who want to live in community, but don't want to be led by community. There are people who want to be part of community, but the moment community calls them out, they depart from community. In our 2025, American mindset says, you can't do that. I have rights. I'm an American by God. I'm not here for that. I'm not here. I don't want anybody telling me what to do and how I should act. And you know what? Here's the funny thing. I've heard this said before. Maybe you've heard this said before. Have you ever heard someone say the phrase, I'm not a fan of organized religion? You know, I'm just not a fan of organized religion. This is such a wild statement to me. Like, I can't wrap my hands around it because I feel like it's the only time, even in life, that someone uses the phrase, I don't like organized anything. Like, could you imagine someone was like, yeah, I don't like organized DMV. Like, it should just be survival of the fittest. There's no grab a number, right? Whoever can make it to the strongest gets to the line first, right? That's the way it should be. Like, we just walk right in and there you go. I've never heard anyone said, I don't like organized grocery stores. I like to hunt for my food. Like, we should just get rid of all those numbers and descriptions, take them all down the aisles. Why do we need that? And we're like, where's the cereal? I don't know. Go find it. Hunt for it. I've never heard anyone say, I don't like organized sports. You know, they should just have three quarterbacks and three balls. Out on the field at the same time, you just take your pick which one is important, right? What do you mean like these receivers have designed routes they run? Shouldn't they just go everywhere and we'll just figure it out? And what about these refs? Who brought them into the game? These guys wearing white and black, they think they're so important. We don't need them. Why do we need that organization? Here's one. I've never heard anyone say, I don't like organized air traffic control. Can't they just land and take off how they want? Why do we need it organized, man? They know what they're doing. Here's the deal, guys. See, it's not that we're not fans of organized religion. We aren't fans of rules. And let's be honest. Nobody likes someone telling them what to do. Nobody likes that. I mean, all of you can remember a time when before you were 18 and your parents were giving you a hard time, and what did you say? I can't wait till I'm 18. I'm out of here. Like, I'm going to show them, right? I'm moving on my own. How many of you are like, dude, I wish I could go back. Wish my mom would pay the bills again, you know? But hear me. Write this down if you're taking notes. Community without authority is anarchy. You can't be a part of something that doesn't have structure.
that doesn't have rules. You can't move forward without it, right? And I put it this way to make it even more applicable to your life, because I want you to think about this for a moment. Who in your life can tell you no? Who in your life can tell you no? Think about that. Because when we were kids, it was our parents, right? But when we became adults, we went on a mission to eliminate anyone from our lives who opposes us, right? I'm an adult. No one tells me what I can and can't do. And so we create these three categories of people in our lives, right? So the first category, see if this fits you. The first category that we create is what we call friends. And our friends are the ones who always agree and love me. And that's precious. And here's the deal. And if you don't always agree with me, and it means this, you don't love me. Well, the church doesn't agree with me. They've called me out. They don't love me anymore. And so if you don't love me anymore, you're not my friend, which brings us to the next category we create in our lives, which is called enemies. And enemies are people who always oppose and hate me, right? You ever had that person in your life? Like, you disagree with them once, and then they say to you, you always disagree with me. Like, I mean, I always agree with you. What are you talking about? Like, your kids, you were like, you never let me get to do anything. You know, like, what about the 20 things I said yes to? The one time I say no, you disagree, you oppose me, you're my enemy. But here's the church. Here's the category of the church that we need to establish. This is the church. Church is this: love and support when needed, love and correct when needed. We need people in our lives. Get me. We need people in our lives who tell us we are important when we don't feel important. We need that. But we also need people in our lives who can tell us you're not that important when you think you're that important. Amen. No one's amen to me. Come on. There's somebody sitting next to you right now that's waiting to tell you you're not that important. I need someone, right, who can lift me up when I feel down. But I also need someone who can call me out when I'm tripping, right? When I'm not doing things right. I need that. I need people in my life, and you do too, that are willing to do both. And that's why church. Let me give you a third why church. Why church? Maturity. Maturity. I love 1 Corinthians 15. It's probably a familiar scripture to a lot of us, but it says this: do not be deceived, right? Bad company corrupts good character. Bad company corrupts good character. Now, when you study the Bible, there's this thing in the Bible when you study it, and it's called the principle of the reverse. So when you read the Bible, you gotta think about this. The principle of the reverse, which is this. This is what the principle of reverse is. It is what, if the Bible says something is true, then that means the opposite is also true. So like, if you love math, for example, A equals B, well then B must also equal A. So if bad company can corrupt good character, I heard someone say it this way: if bad company corrupts good character, imagine what good company can do. Imagine what good company can do in your life. Some people say, well, I go to church all the time, but I don't feel changed. I just feel the same. So I brought another example. My fingernail clippers. My fingernails grow like weed, right? Like, you put them on weed. My wife's always like, you need to clip your nails. I'm like, no, I look pretty. And so I look pretty. I don't want to clip them. And she's like, you got to clip your nails. You know, you got to do that. And I start thinking more about this as I'm clipping my nails one day. I was like, you know, that kind of makes sense. Like, if I would, and I'm not going to do this more, but let's say if I clipped my nail on this finger, and I clipped it, trimmed it back, and I came back 3 months later to this nail, how many know that fingernail would have grown back? But what if I saved the clipping that I clipped off and I came back to it 3 months later? How many know it doesn't grow? The clipped fingernail doesn't grow. And some people come to church for a long time like they clipped their fingernail. Where's my growth? Why doesn't God become more real? Why doesn't he do more in my life? And I would say this to you, you got as a reminder this morning, between the clipped nail and the nail on your finger, you got to understand something. Being in the hand is different than being connected to the hand. Being in the hand is totally different than being connected to the hand. We are all going to church, but some of us are in seats and we're not connected to the body. We're just a nail in the hand. I had a guy tell me once, he said, you know, I stopped going to church for years and I've never been more closer than Jesus than I am right now. And I'm like, well, what do you mean? He's like, man, I'm at home and I got my Bible. I got my worship music. I turn on some, put some candles on. And I'm just, I've never felt more closer to Jesus. And I'm like, well, that's really funny that you would say that, because being closer to Jesus really isn't a feeling. It's not a feeling. Like you know, you're closer to Jesus when you look like him. That's how you know you're closer to Jesus. So my question back to you, you're all by yourself, is how do you know you look like Jesus? There's no one else around. How do you know you've grown? How do you know you've become more generous? Well, I've been closer to Jesus by myself. Okay, well, how do you know it's working? Right? Imagine you being alone and you're like, I'm so generous. You know how I know I'm generous? Because every time I get hungry, I make myself something to eat. I'm so generous. You know how I'm just so generous that every time I want something, I buy it. I just get it. I'm so patient. Well, how do you know you're patient? Well, when I sin against myself, I look at myself in the mirror and say, you got this. Like, how do you know? How many of you know this is the reality for all of us? The easiest person to forgive is yourself. How do you know you're becoming more forgiving if you're never around people who offend you? How do you know that money doesn't have a hold on you unless you have a place to lay it at an altar when you bring your tithe to the Lord? Can I just simply put it for you this way if you're taking notes? The church will test you. The church will test you. A lot of the things that you think are defects of the church, how many of you know, I want to tell you this, and you maybe have never heard this in church before, the things that you think are defects of the church, I think they're actually designs of the church. That God designed it that way. Hear me, when you get hurt or offended, our response is like, oh, the church, it's defected. Let me tell you something, it's not defected, it's God's design to see your growth and maturity. When the pastor preaches on money, which we will do, and our response is, he shouldn't do that. The church just wants my money, it's a defect. Can I tell you, it's not a defect of the church, it's a design of the church to examine your heart. Well, the church always asks so much of my time. They always want me to serve. They always want me to give. They always want me to volunteer. It's such a defect of the church. They don't understand the family and the time. And I would say to you, it's not a defect of the church. It's a design of the church to challenge our humility. The church is designed to sharpen you. But you're the fourth why church for CLC. Stability. Stability. In case you don't know this, but I'll just speak for Heath. A lot in my life has changed since I was 1 year old. Serious, you might not know that, but a lot has changed in my life since I was one. I started walking. I can eat on my own. I got married since I was 1 year old. I had two kids. I've even got some grays showing up. A lot's changed. But can I tell you this morning, the one thing that's not changed since I was 1 year old is where you can find me on Sunday morning. The church. And I know that's not everybody's story, and that's okay. It's not your story. That's fine. I love the mixtures of people. God loves you. The church is for you. The church is built on that for you. But I'm just saying for Heath, I'm proud of it because of the stability I have with God. I've been able to find stability in my life because of that stability in the unstable moments of my life. The church has been a stable constant in the unstable moments of my life. And I know the mindset in our world today is, well, you don't have to go to church every week to grow spiritually. Man, you could grow on your own. You don't have to go to church every week to grow spiritually. And I'm like, yeah, you don't have to go to the gym every week to grow physically, but it helps. You're like, well, you know, I love Jesus. Jesus loves me. We're in a relationship. It's all good. I don't need the church every week. I got that relationship. I'm like, yeah, well, when you're married, and you don't have to come home every night to stay married, but it helps. Right? I think we come into church with the wrong mentality. We come in with like have to. What if we came in and said, it helps too? It helps too. Acts chapter 2 says this, the beginning of the church, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles. To the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. Do you see where that started? It said devoted. The apostles' teaching, guess what, guys? In 2025, we can get that on a podcast. Like, oh, well, what about sharing in meals? Yeah, I would love all the sharing in meals, but man, you could join a life group, hit a park, and share a meal together. Like, well, prayer, you know, I see prayer in there. Well, yeah, you know, you could do prayer in your prayer closet, but can I tell you something? There's one thing that you can't do unless you assemble, and you know what it is? Fellowship. It's one of the four purposes of the church. In fact, some people would say this phrase, you may have heard it before, I am the church. I am the church. And I'm like, no, you're not. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit, but that's different than you are the church. The word ecclesia, used in the Bible, the Greek word for church, literally means assembly. It means assembly. You know what they call a one-person assembly? They don't. They don't. They got other words for that. Lone wolf, isolated, loner, but they don't call it an assembly. It's God's plan that the church come together. And I want to challenge you with this morning right here. I know you're getting near the end of the year. I'm going to challenge you right now. Can we just, I know it will change you. Give God 1 year of your life. Make a challenge today. I don't care if you're old or new to this thing. Give God 1 year of your life. Like, I'm going to be involved. I'm going to go all on this thing. I'm going to give. I'm going to serve. I'm going to do all these things. I'll do it for 1 year. And you know what? I know it's hard. God, here's my time. That's hard. God, here's my finances. Even harder. God, here's my commitment. But you give God 1 year of your life. I promise you, 1 year from now, you'll be a different person. Did you know that they studies show that the earning, your earning peak, your wealth, your earning peak in life is at the age of 54. How many of you are under 54? Raise your hand. You're under 54. Okay, there's hope for you. Everybody else? Well. Here's the thing. The reason why it peaks at 54 is because by the time you reach your 60s, you're typically living off your retirement. So 54 is the earnings peak. And I only say that because when it comes to Christianity, hear me, the peak fruit is produced in the last seasons. Like in the last seasons, that it's in those last seasons that you produce your best fruit. Like, I've been a Christian basically my whole life, and it's only been the last 8 years where I've seen greater things of God. I've seen greater miracles and blessings. I've seen them my whole life, but the greater things as I'm getting older in life and serving God longer. I'm just saying to you, it takes time. You have to commit to this thing. To see all that God can do, you have to commit to this thing. To see all the things that God has for you, you got to hang in there. You got to be able to say, listen, I'm committed to this thing to the long haul, and watch how God will use you to do greater things. Let me give you the last why, church. Here he is. Why, church? Probably the most important. Eternity. Eternity. Hebrews 10 tells it this way. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promises. Amen. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And look what it says. And let us not neglect our meeting together. Let us not neglect our assembly, our ecclesia, our church, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that, get this, what? That the day of the return of his return is drawing near. Can I remind you today, if you're taking notes, if you are not taking notes, write this one down. Here's what we need to know. Church is my regular reminder that this earth is not my home. It's a regular reminder that this church, that this earth that we live in is not my home. I remember when Braden, my son, was younger and it was time for shots. You know, when your kids have to get shots, right? And he was, oh my gosh, he was the devil. Scream and cry. You thought, man, if anyone outside thought what was going on in this hospital, they thought we were torturing this kid. Everything was about it. But man, something magical happened when he got around 10 or 11 years old and he had to get his shots, and he didn't scream or cry. He had this grin on his face like, Dad, I didn't scream or cry. And I'm like, wow. I said, Bub, what changed? And he just simply said, and he goes, you know, Dad, it hit me, right? It just hit me all of a sudden that it's only going to last a couple seconds. It's only going to last a couple seconds. And he said, I can make it a couple seconds. I can make it a couple seconds. Hear me this morning. When you remember that you've been saved for eternity, you are reminded that all pain is temporary. You've been saved for eternity. All pain is temporary. And I don't know what you're going through or what you will go through, but I do know that this, the church, is a reminder that it's temporary. Did you know that technically Sunday, maybe you know this, but technically Sunday was the first day of the week. Historically, Sunday is not Monday, like we've made it, but Sunday was the first day of the week. And the reason why was because when our country was founded as a Christian nation, they started it on Sunday because they said, listen, you go to church on Sunday and you could get your perspective right to help you get through what you're going to go through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And this is why we gather is so important, that it gets your eyes right. It gets your head right. It gets your heart right for all the things you're about to see and experience on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I encourage you, church, worship is a reminder of who God is. The word is a reminder of what God says. The people, all of us, are a reminder of who God loves. But the community is a reminder, get me, of what God is preparing. It's a reminder of what God is preparing. And I love it. I just love the mixture of our church. Different age groups, different backgrounds, single, married, young, old, different skin colors. Like, I love this about CLC and about our church because it reminds me of what heaven's going to look like. Reminds me of what this is what heaven will look like. There's something, and I'm speaking for Heath, but I hope for you, there's something about an assembly that builds anticipation in me. I'm built on Sundays with anticipation. In fact, the staff will tell you, like, on Tuesdays, I'm talking about Sunday. Because I'm filled with anticipation that there's something about us being together that gets me hyped, right? My wife, our family, we love food trucks. We go to big cities and they're like a food truck side. We find them and we go. And here's the challenge that gives me anxiety is like, which one do I try? I can't try them all. I'd like to, but I can't try them all. And so what we've learned is, you know what we do? We go to the one with the longest line. We go to the one with the longest line because how many of the locals know? Right? So where the line is, something is happening. And that's why I get excited about our church. You might not see it. I see it. There's a line forming at CLC. Man, just this week, we'll be taking in almost 19 new members. 19 new members. Like, in my 4 years, that's not happening here. That's not happening here. I mean, I'm excited. We're seeing new people walk through the door every day. We have a connections director that says, I stand outside. I can't get in here in time because I'm meeting new people. Like, people are signing up to serve, getting involved in life. More things are happening. All these crazy things are happening. There's a line forming at our church, and we need to allow the assembly to create an anticipation in all of us. The anticipation that God is up to something right here in our church. God is up to something. God's about to do something in this place. And that's what gathering is communicating to the world. Man, I tell you this, just this week alone, I've personally been attacked. Thank God, not from none of you, all right? But people outside this church, there are people who want to see this church fail. That's sad to believe, but it's true. And I've been attacked, yeah. And I had someone, this is what the assembly does, because someone wise in the church says, you know what? You know why that happens? Because the devil knows that God is about to do something. He wants to take your eyes off of what God wants to do. Can I tell you something? The devil knows it's in the assembly that somebody's going to get saved. The devil knows that it's in the assembly that somebody's going to get delivered and set free. The devil knows that it's in the assembly that somebody's going to get healed. He knows that in the assembly that somebody's going to find freedom. That he knows in the assembly that somebody's going to discover their purpose. That's in the assembly that somebody's going to get blessed. That somebody's marriage is going to get restored. And personally, I just get hyped when I can come and I can walk into this room and I see all of you. And I'm reminded that where two or three people are gathered in a room, guess what? God is there as well. I get excited about that. I get excited when I look forward to the day that when the Bible says every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord and not a tear will be shed. There will be no more sickness and there will be no more disease and there will be no more evil or hate or poverty or hopelessness because God has returned to rule. And this is why we gather and this is why we commit. It's why we have church. It's why we do church. And I just want to encourage all of you, this is not the end. Like, you need to get excited. I get excited when we show up because it means God is going to do something. Bow your heads with me for a moment. I want to pray for you. And I want to pray for the person in the room, man. Maybe this first person, you've been kicking the tires. Is church for me? Is this where I need to land? Is this really a part of me? Should I really be doing this? Should I really be doing that? And you've just been kicking the tires. And I want to encourage you with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Listen, this is Jesus' idea, not man. The Bible refers to the church as Jesus' bride. This is his idea. So that you can be what Jesus wants you to be. You can have all the blessings and the good things that come from being part of Jesus' bride. But we got to get rooted. It's not enough to be in the hand, church. We've got to be connected to the hand. And I don't want you to miss out. And I'll say this with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I just challenge you in this room, maybe one or two of you, don't question the motive today. Don't question my motivation. I'm telling you, it is simply because I want everything that God has for you to be yours. And I know that it's found in the church. And we need this. It's God's bride. We need community. We need accountability. We need maturity. We need stability. We need eternity. And so, Lord, I pray over your people today that God, your hand would be upon us. That God, you would strengthen us, encourage us today. I pray there be anticipation in this room, that we are anticipating that God, you're going to do something, not just collectively, but you're going to do something individually in each and every one of our lives. Lord, may we see the line forming outside, God, as we are saying, listen, we want to be the church that God has destined us to be. And so, Lord, we give this whole thing to you. We give our whole lives to this, Lord, knowing that through in the midst of it, man, is fruitfulness and accountability, staple, maturity, eternity at the end of it all. And so I pray for that. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, one last prayer that I want to pray in the room today. Man, if you're here this morning, you've walked into church and you walked into this place, really the whole purpose behind this is so that you can discover Jesus. And so maybe you're in this room today and the question is, how do I become part of the family? Can I just encourage you today that the front door has a name, and the name of that front door is Jesus. And all you have to do is open the door of your heart and say, God, would you come in? I want to live for you. I want to be a part of what you want me to be a part of. I want to be saved. I want to experience this eternity that's so talked about. And if you're here today, we're not going to embarrass you, right? We're all sitting today, but if you're here today, and that's you, you're in that place, we're not going to embarrass you right where you're sitting, head bowed, every eye closed. But if you'd say, that's me, I mean, I want to open the front door of my heart and let Jesus in. If that's you, would you just put your hand up, put it back down again? Just want to know who I'm praying for. Thank you. Thank you. I see hands. Anybody else? Come on. It's your opportunity. Thank you. Thank you. Lots of hands. Lord, today, right now, as a church, we all collectively say, God, we open the doors of our heart. Would you come into my life? If that's you this morning, you just put your hand up and listen, all you got to do right where you're sitting right there is just say, Lord, would you come into my life? I want to be part of your family. Would you forgive me of my sins? And would you help me, God, to live for you? I want to be part of what you're doing. I want that stability. I want the maturity, the accountability. I want the community. But more than anything else, I desire the eternity that I spend with you. If that's you in the room, that's your prayer, you can be saved. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. I'm gonna invite our ushers to come forward this morning. We're gonna do something different at the end today. I mentioned the last 2 weeks that we are kind of on in a campaign area where we just need to do some things here. And there, you know, I hate to say we're in a place of desperation because we're not, but we are in a place of need. And, you know, we have 7 furnaces that are 40 years old, the original to this building. And they've been great. They've served us well. But they're on their last leg. And some would say, well, they work. Just let them die. Okay. But when they die, it's not a screwdriver to fix it. All right. So we need to look at that to help you guys, to help us out, be able to be a place where people can come in and experience Christ. And so I know it's not really flashy and everybody, oh, a furnace, well, I'm going to get behind that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Okay. But just know that it's God's house. We still believe that. It's not old fashioned. It's God's house. We want to take care of it. We want to steward it well. Company has offered us $3,800. We have seven, $3,800 for each one. That's including parts and labor. It's a pretty good deal if you know anything about HVAC. So we're blessed by that. We have bathrooms that we need to update. A lot of those are 40 years old. Probably a week goes by that our housekeeping crew doesn't text us and say, I found water on the floor in the bathroom. And we need to replace them. They've served us well, but we need to update some of our things here. And that's just where the body comes together. That's why church. We come together and we do these things. So I've asked you to pray about it. No pressure, no pun on you, no shade on you. But if God lays it on your heart to do something, we would appreciate that. There's ways you can give on that. Again, as always, you can give online or scan the QR code. If you do, all you got to do is go to there's a little drop down. You can drop down. And there's a thing called building fund. If you give online and you just give it to there, we'll make sure it goes to the building funds. You can drop on the drop box on your way out if you prefer. We have ushers that'll be happy to help us in a moment. So I'm just challenging you. If you want to be a part of that, when you partner with us, we'd appreciate that. Lord, right now, we just come before you. We thank you for this debt-free facility that we have. We can walk in here, no heaviness. We have a beautiful facility. Just this week, a superintendent of schools walked through here to use this building as a relocation site if needed. And Lord, the joy on her face, we're like, wow, look at this building. Lord, there's wonderful pride that's inside of us that you have blessed us with this. And may we continue to steward it. If we call this our home, may we steward it well. So just put it on our hearts, Lord, and we know, God, that you'll bless us in return. And thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We can give today.
And worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. Crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious.
Worthy. I'm going to close in prayer and pray for you. I want to do something. I promise I don't, if you're a regular, you know I don't normally do this. But I felt led to do it the first service, felt led to do it in this service. And so I promise I won't do this every week. But if you're sitting next to somebody that you know, love, respect, or you feel comfortable with, I'm going to ask you to grab their hand. All right. So if you're sitting by yourself, you don't know me, you don't have to do that. Okay. I know that can be a little weird. But if you're sitting by somebody you love, you care about, you're okay with it, just grab their hands together. And I want to pray for you. And there's something about, we talked about assembly, gathering together. There's something about not only when I pray for you, but you pray for that person that you're standing next to, right? And so Lord, right now I pray today as a church that we assemble together, that God, your name would be lifted up. And that's the key of what we do. That God, this isn't about us or about our personal kingdoms. This is about lifting you up. And so, Lord, help us, man. Help us to navigate seasons where we feel offended. Help us to navigate seasons where we feel disconnected. Help us to navigate seasons, Lord, where we just feel like, man, we need more. And Lord, pray that we would find that in this place. Lord, and so I pray for one another, that, Lord, your presence would be the joy of the Lord, that your face would shine upon us, that you would strengthen us and encourage us because you're just that good. And so the person that maybe we're standing next to, whether we know them or don't know them, Lord, we just ask, God, that you would be this week their God, that you this week would strengthen and encourage them, and we would see the provision of the Lord working on our behalf because we have committed ourselves to you. So thank you. We thank you for the church. We thank you for your goodness. May the joy of the Lord shine upon us and walk with us in all things. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, come on, amen and amen. Come on, let's give it to the Lord one time. Yes. All right. We have a prayer corner. Before you leave, we have a prayer corner. If you're here today, you just need prayer. First service, people were getting prayed on. You need prayer. We have a great group that love to pray with you. Man, you want to join a connect group. You want to get involved. If you're interested in the missions trip, Dave Rodley will be in the foyer. If you're interested in going to Thailand, there's a lot of things happening. Before you just run out, be a part of it. Hey, even if you want to be a member and you didn't get on it, we're doing a quick membership class after church today. You can stay around. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday.
This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.